This is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
A thousand people, you have a thousand different lists of right and wrong. Fortunately, God's the one who authors right and wrong, truth from error. Jesus came and he said, I came to bear witness to the truth so you can know what it is. And it's not all that confusing. So for us to take these simple stands and not to fall prey to all of the arguments, we risk being not liked and shunned. Paul saw all of this coming, that people would believe but be too afraid of people to live.
Truth is something that people search for. Some people think that truth is relative. Others believe that it's absolute. For us as Christians, we know that God decides what truth is. We have to change our way of thinking to align with this. In today's message, Pastor Troy will be helping us understand God's truth. He'll help us see how important it is we learn the truths of God, stand on them, and fight for them when they're challenged. It's only God's truth that will give us real freedom. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of John chapter 12 as he continues his message, Coming Out of the Spiritual Closet.
So they didn't stand by faith because they were stopped by fear. See, that's the danger that we all face when we truly choose to walk by faith, is that we'll be excluded or shunned or not invited to the family gathering or kicked out of the family altogether. We'll lose friends. We'll lose these things. Maybe we'll end up all alone. Well, that's not true, because the scripture says he'll never leave us or forsake us. So you add that to the potential of being persecuted for your faith, mocked, beaten, and killed, which we haven't experienced in this country really yet, but who knows? See, as human beings, we all have a fundamental desire to be accepted and loved. And so there are even some individuals who can't help but operate by that. Was that pleasing personality? I want to please people, so I work hard to please others. The idea is that we want to be loved, cared about, liked. I don't want people to not like me. So I'll do whatever I need to do to not be unliked, you know, to be liked. And that's a fear. And it's a fear that stops us from knowing and growing in the Lord. This is one of the reasons that some get into trouble or always complain or exaggerate sickness, because it's a habit that they have developed because they have kind of learned or had an experience where, hey, this gets attention on me. So I feel cared about, loved, thought about. I'm in the center. And so some are driven and they get into trouble because that's when they're cared about. That's when they're thought about. Or they complain because this is when those who never listen to their opinions or give them a listen, even though it's annoying, at least they hear me. Or exaggerating sickness when others are tending to them. They're bad habits. They're wrong habits. But it's a cry very often for attention and care, because that's what we all crave in the flesh, because we're not satisfied completely in Christ. So we turn to those things. So faith then, living by faith, walking by faith, well, it's a risk, because we risk pushing away people. People won't like us. People won't turn to us. And we can be shunned even from our own family. And this is the internal conflict that often leads us to compromising. So for us in the United States, where persecution is limited, we think things like, well, I'm not going to take a real strong stand in the faith. I mean, I don't want to be overzealous because people might call me weird or make fun of me. And we're afraid to be all in for the Lord. The Lord's desire is not that you look weird, but in this world, which, by the way, is getting weird, you're going to look weird because they're weird. You're not weird. They're weird. And so when you're different than them, when you call right, right, and wrong, wrong, because it's obvious, they're going, well, you don't see all the perspectives. No, you see, look, you're messing things up with all your perspectives. Here's right. Here's wrong. It's that simple. God's word has answers. You know, my son is taking some government class. Pray that we get through that. They have all these laws, and they get so convoluted with all of the rules. I remember sitting in a jury duty one time, and they were talking about how if a cop accidentally stumbled upon the information and didn't have a search warrant, and yet used that to capture the guy, could you dismiss that because he got it the wrong way? Because the law says he cannot use that. It's inadmissible. And I said, so you're telling me that if we find out he is guilty, that we can't prove that he's guilty because we found out he was guilty the wrong way? And I didn't get picked. So, in fact, the others around me were like, yeah, I agree with that. That makes sense. But they weren't thinking. They're like, okay, yeah, the law says we have to throw it out. So let's, yeah, throw it out, man. We can't use that evidence. Are you crazy? We've lost our minds with all of our rules. It's very simple. Boys are boys. Girls are girls. They're born that way. We have propensities towards sin. Yes, it doesn't make it right. Some kids grow up, well, I just have a propensity to go up and hit people across the lips with my fist. I just born that way. It's who I am. Does that make it right? No. Somehow you got it. Somewhere in your life, growing up, somewhere you got it. You got a violent or an angry or whatever it is, temperament. That's the sin nature, but it doesn't make it right because it's been with you most of your life or all of it. It's not right. So where do we get right from? You poll 1,000 people, you have 1,000 different lists of right and wrong. Fortunately, God's the one who authors right and wrong, truth from error. Jesus came and he said, I came to bear witness to the truth so you can know what it is. And it's not all that confusing. So for us to take these simple stands and not to fall prey to all of the arguments, we risk being not liked and shunned. Paul saw all of this coming, that people would believe but be too afraid of people to live. And so he wrote to the Galatians, which I believe is the first letter that he wrote, but it was certainly among the first letters that he wrote. So early on, Galatians 1:10, he wrote, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. What he's simply saying is this: if I live to please people, if I live worried about what people think, then I will not be able to live and please God. So, who am I going to live for? That's his question. The idea is what God thinks of me is more important than what others think of me. That includes parents, that includes children, that includes bosses, that includes extended family. It's what God thinks that matters most. What others think, if it affects the relationship because we're going to do things the way God wants us to, then may they be in God's hands. But it's for me and my house, even if it's a dwindling house, we're going to follow the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. So we see in verses 42 and 43 a group who are trying to believe undercover. It says that they believed, but they're in the closet, if you will, in the dark. And Jesus knows that this cannot work. Because if you remain in the dark, what did Jesus say about himself? I am the light. So there is absolutely no way to remain in the dark and hidden and follow Christ. And you cannot follow Christ and remain in the dark. You'll be noticed. You'll be different. Things will change. So there's no way to do both. And Jesus knows that. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." That's the place to place your faith. So both unbelief and belief have their dangers. Unbelief, because you can callous your heart, lose everything. Trying to hold on to everything and everyone. The scripture speaks about that. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? That's what unbelief does. We keep turning to, holding on to people, and we can't follow the Lord because we don't have the kind of faith to come out of the closet. James talked about that too, saying, can that kind of faith save someone? But then belief is risky too, because then you could actually lose friends and you could lose people. You're too holy, too righteous. And it makes the temptation to compromise a daily battle every single day. And look at verse 44. Then Jesus cried out and said, remember, these are his last words to the public. And he addresses this idea of believing. Here's what I'm talking about. He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in that last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say, what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. So now let's consider this, that Jesus highlights the difference, that there is a difference. This is Jesus' final public address to individuals before he goes and speaks privately to his disciples. And what does he talk about? Unbelief, belief, that it can't be hidden, that he's the light. You don't hide in the darkness and say you believe.
There's so much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope to see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid rock.
So let's look at some differences in faith and unbelief. First, faith honors God. Unbelief dishonors God. That's what Jesus is saying when he says, he who believes in me believes not in me, but him who sent me. See, this crowd that he's speaking to, they were Jews, and they would say things, well, this guy did stuff on the Sabbath. We can't trust in him. So he's wicked. This can't be the guy we're supposed to follow because, well, we don't like him really. But he does stuff like heals on the Sabbath and touches lepers and all of this stuff. So they say, well, we honor the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who we honor. But Jesus is saying, if you reject me, you reject the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You can't honor him unless you honor me. You don't receive him unless you receive me. You see, if you believe in God, you will believe and honor his son, Jesus. How do we do that? Well, by seeking him, by trusting him when he leads, by following him. And that's where the disconnect. Some want to hear, some get in the Bible and go, what would he do? But they can't come out of the closet. They can't follow. Why? The only reason they can't is they're afraid. They're afraid of what it'll cost. They're afraid of what they'll lose. But let me tell you something about the cost. I was in finance, and so there's a report that you want to do, an analysis that you want to do. It's called the cost to benefit analysis. So there are some things that have a cost. So if you only look at the cost, it's like, well, I don't know, man, that's a lot of cost. But if you bring into the equation the benefits, okay, well, what are the benefits? Well, when you bring the Lord into the equation, you go, well, there is no cost too much. There's no cost that's too high. This is too good. What God will do, well, I might lose money. He provides everything and says He will. Everything I need. Well, I could lose these friendships and relationships. There's nothing, no one who's left father, mother, home, land, anything else who will not be given so much more. What are you gonna balance it against? So the way to have a good outlook is to have a very consistent uplook. Keeping your eyes on Him because He's the difference maker. So faith honors God. Unbelief dishonors Him. Faith brightens your life. Unbelief darkens it. I remember when I first gave my life to Christ, it was like a weight had been lifted. I didn't even know I had been carrying so much stuff. It's like your life just gets heavier and heavier over time. Bad decisions, someone said something, but you blow it off, but it really hurt. And just over time, just a lot of stuff. It piles up on you. And I remember when I gave my life to Christ, it was like, man, why do I feel so light? I didn't think I was so burdened. And as you grow in the Lord, you start to realize the mess you were in. How messed up your heart was. It was painfully messy. When you go home at night and the lights are off, you can't really see, what's the first thing that you do? Well, if you're smart and you want to avoid breaking a toe or something, or kicking the dog, you know, then you turn on the light. You turn on the light so you can see clearly. There won't be any stumbling then. Well, that's what it's like to come in and put your life into Christ's hands. It's like the light gets turned on. Now, some of the stuff you see, oh, I forgot to put that cup, oh, we didn't wash the dish. You see those things. You see them. The light comes on. But it's in your heart, though. It's not the dishes. It might be the dishes. But it's in your heart. You turn it on, and it's like, oh, man. All right, I guess I wasn't ready to come to you. No. You are ready. Now, let's walk through this together. And the Lord begins to walk through and talking you through and encouraging you. And before long, things are getting cleaner and cleaner in your heart. You're lighter and lighter. You have less and less to hide. So, when we put our life in God's hands, it's like we allow Him to turn on the light. And it's good. It's good for us to see things the way that, well, it's the way they are, right? You're just deceiving yourself if you just leave the lights off. Well, the home's not messy if the lights are off. No, you're going to trip over everything on the floor. But when you get to turn on the light, it just changes everything. He said He is the light. And then He also works in us to become the light. And not a wimpy light either. Not like a little Christmas tree light, a little soft glow, you know. Hey, you guys going to come to the party? Yeah, oh, we want you at the party. You're just so nice and so great. Ooh, yeah, warm. Hey, that's a little bright. Can you back off a little? Okay. You know, a little tiny light. Now, we're not to be offensive, but trust me, when you are walking close to the Lord, it offends those who are in the dark. Because it's like a flashlight, you know? You go and you're like, what are you doing, man? I'm hiding stuff. We're telling jokes. We're doing this. Walk in and someone hides the computer screen. What? You knock before you come in. Huh. That's the light. Turned on in the darkness. So, faith brightens. Unbelief darkens. You can never become all that the Lord wants you to become until you're walking in the light of Christ. You just can't. The third is faith opens the doors to hope and a future. But unbelief closes the door permanently. Jesus speaks about those who believe as having escaped judgment that's to come. But those who do not believe are still under the weight of all of that. They carry it themselves. It's a weight they carry, and they should carry it because it's theirs. But he's more than willing to lift that burden. To put your life in his hands is to have hope. You see, when you have hope, you realize things can change. Things can happen. There is hope for change. Unbelief lives in this constant state of mind. It's a constant state of mind that says things don't change. Well, this is my lot in life. Have you heard that? This is my lot in life. Woe is me. That's unbelief, but that's not belief. Faith says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Faith says, if I can't do it, he can do it. Can I get up in the morning before I go off to work and give 15 minutes to the Lord? Yes, I don't need a miracle for that. But even then, sometimes God will do something. There was a noise I heard and I got up. Man, it was 15 minutes early. It was awesome. It's the Lord. He'll do those things. Jesus goes on to say, I'm speaking on the Father's authority here. Verse 50, he says, and I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. What he's doing is he's opening the door saying, look, you can't come in hiding. You can't come in the dark, but I'm opening the door wide open. What do you want to do? See, there are no closet Christians. They can call themselves Christians, but there are no closet Christians. He calls us to come out of the spiritual closet. We have nothing to hide. We have nothing to be ashamed of. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. In other words, we'll have fellowship one with another. There'll be intimate fellowship. And he will lead us. And trust me, we need a leader. We talked to our men Friday and said, how can you lead a home if you have no idea what direction God is leading you? You're just kind of trying to figure it out. You don't have to do that. Read something. It says, years ago in the shipping industry, there were two compasses aboard ships, one on the deck and one far above the mast. One time there was a passenger aboard one of the ships who noticed that a sailor kept going up to climb up the mast and get the reading and shouted down with the reading below. So he said, why does he do that? Why do you have two compasses anyway? The sailor smiled and said, let me explain something to you. This is an iron vessel. It creates its own magnetic field, so the compass on the deck is good for general observation. So the captain has a good idea where we're at and where we need to go. But, he said, the one at the top of the mast is above the influence of what's going on down here. And he said, and I'm going to tell you this, we always steer and direct our ship by the one on the top. Let me encourage you guys to navigate your life, not by the compass you have right here that's affected by so many things, but by the compass you can have in your hand, on your device, hidden in your heart, the Word of God. It's always true north. It always tells you right from wrong. It always lifts you when you need to be lifted, and it will put you down when you need to be put in your place. But it's the truth. And there is no way around it. So let me encourage you to navigate by it. Navigate your life by it.
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Neely will teach again in the book of John as he goes verse by verse and chapter by chapter through this gospel book. If this series has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love to hear from our listeners about their experience with this ministry. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program. In addition to hearing encouraging messages on the radio, it's important to be involved in a local church. If you live in or are visiting the San Antonio area, come visit Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our church website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're unable to be there in person, join us online. That's all for today. Be sure to tune in again for more from the Book of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.